Hey guys, today's episode is obviously a free for everybody to listen to. We did recently just start a subscription. I believe I set it for like $99. $0.99 a month. If anybody's interested in joining up, it just basically gets you extended episodes or just other episodes altogether. Of course, it's optional. But if you'd like to, you can go ahead and do that. And then I'm going to try to release two more episodes, one of which is going to be free, the other a subscription in the next 7 days just to kind of get caught up. So thanks for being patient and love you guys.
Hello and welcome back to Aliens, UFOs, and Ghost Stories, a podcast dedicated to seekers. If you have a story that you'd like to share, the best way to get a hold of me is through email. My email is aliens, UFOs, and ghost stories at yahoo.com.
Whatsoever beings exist throughout all galaxies, it doesn't make any difference. You are all of them. And when they come into being, that's you coming into being. You know that very well.
Hey gang, sorry for posting a little late this week. My aunt passed away a couple days ago, and I'm just getting home now from Kentucky. And this is just a, kind of last minute ditch effort to be able to post something. I did get behind on an interview. I actually had to cancel too because of the funeral. But this is a conversation with a man named Al, a Peruvian American who was in the CE5 with us that night when we had, the Native American, a possible craft, and the owl that flew directly over our head. Thanks.
Hey, Al, how's it going?
Mr. Jake, I'm doing well. How are you, my friend?
Very good. Let me start with this. Is it okay if I record this conversation for my personal record of what happened that night?
Yeah.
And potentially maybe even like a soundbite on the podcast. Okay, so I've already explained to the listening audience basically what happened from what I can remember. If you could just help me remember just a couple more fine details. So the bat experience, that was pretty straightforward. The owl. Did you witness the owl?
I did not. I had my eyes closed, so I missed that. I'm kind of bummed about it.
Oh, yeah, you didn't miss much. I mean, at least for me, I'm so used to having them come or call out. It was pretty straightforward. But I guess the easiest way for me to say it is you didn't know my intention was to reach out to my Cherokee ancestors. Is that right?
Yeah, we never talked about that.
Yeah, I was explaining to them that that's not something that we kind of went around in the circle and, my intention is to see a craft. And, like, what about you, Tosh? What's yours? Like, so that's what seemed really odd. First things first, I believe you mentioned the craft first, and you did believe that it was behind me and my friend?
Yeah, the vision that I had, I saw a craft that was on the ground that was a few hundred yards behind you. It was cylindrical. I could just see the front of it. It was cylindrical and silver-like, and there was a male, which I assumed was a captain, and a young female next to him. That's my interpretation of what I saw.
They were just
standing there.
So they weren't trying to telepathically communicate with anybody or approach the circle?
Nope, not at all. So I found it odd. So let me tell you, let me preface my intention when I went in. So when I went into the meditation, I've been doing contact work for a while now. And I work with Lisa Royal, who's out of Phoenix, and she does contact work. And I've been going to her contact for maybe 6 or 7 years now. And it's more of an advanced type of a contact group. It's amazing. It's a great group of people. And we've been working we've been having experiences, or other people have been having experiences with the beings called the Plagiarians. there's a gentleman called, they call him Z. His name is Zaysan, who has written now, I think, 6 books called The Plagiarian Diaries. And it's his tagline is Incidental Contact. This is according to him, it's a true story. And he has made contact, and you can look up the books on Amazon called The Plagiarian Diaries. And he has met these Plagiarians, well, they're Pleiadian people, okay? And he's made contact with this lady, young gal called Semyaza. If you recall from the 60s, Billy Myers had an experience with Semyaza, a Pleiadian being, for many years. Probably the most publicized physical contact in the world, I think. This Semyaza that he's having contact with, allegedly, according to him, is the daughter, granddaughter of the Billy Myers Semyaza. Mm. It's a really fascinating story. If you get a chance to read his books, just buy the first one. You know, if it resonates with you, you know, read the rest. Anyways, he's had physical contact where he's gone to their ship and he's traveled our solar system and beyond. Let's just say that, having incredible experiences. So his experiences are all documented in these books called The Plagiarian Diaries. He used to work for Lisa and Ron, Lisa Royal, many years ago. Interesting. And then they lost touch. And anyways, full circle round synchronicities. He's back making contact with Lisa, and he's telling about these experiences. And so now the contact group has now been privy to this gentleman and his contact experiences. Everybody's pretty fascinated. Who wouldn't be? So when I went into the meditation, my intent was to make contact with the Plagiarians, and I asked if they would show themselves. Not thinking anything about it, you know, it's just an intent, just like you did. Well, when I saw the captain there, and in the books, if you read them, there is a captain who takes a very prominent role in Semyaza, the young lady that he met, who is, I won't go into much detail, she's a very important person with the Plagiarians. Anyways, I assumed it was her next to him. And it could be other characters from his book. I don't know. And it may not even be them, you know. But that's what I assumed in my mind.
So perhaps... go ahead.
I'm sorry. The weird part is they're just standing there. And I'm like, okay, this is interesting. And after a few minutes of just me wondering what's going on, I happen to, in my mind's eye, see the... forming a circle around us.
Oh, you broke up. You broke up pretty bad there.
So anyway, I thought it was odd, you know, that just no activity, just the captain and this lady just there, and then all of a sudden, these Native Americans formed a circle outside of our circle. They're about 15 feet behind us, forming their own circle. This is amazing because this vision, journey, whatever you want to call it, was very, very vivid. I've had visions before. You know, some can be pretty realistic, others are more dreamlike. This one was very vivid. It was like it was happening. That's how vivid it was. And so there, I could see they had headgear, beautiful headgear, feathered headgear. They were all male. They had no shirts, and they had the you know, the loincloths made out of, I don't know what, not leather, but suede-like. Kind of warrior-looking, but they were very peaceful. I intuited that they were just very peaceful men, okay? I didn't understand why the ship, the captain and the lady and the Native Americans, it made no sense to me. And I'm like, this is odd. What do they have to do with? Why are they together? You know, I'm posing that question in my mind. Well, as soon as I do that, I get what I call a download. And I got the impression that these people, I'm going to call them the Plagiarians without, you know, not knowing what to call these, the people with the ship. They actually were holding space for our ancestors to come through. because there's a relationship with these ancestors and what we were doing. And basically the answer that I got is that the Native Americans saw us, our presence there, and wanted to honor and aid us in what we were doing, because in ancient times or past times, they used to make contact with the star people, and they were honored that we were doing the same thing. And they did that in their own time in this same territory, is what I got the impression.
Mm.
And so the Plagiarians, or Pleiadians, whatever you want to call them, were there assisting them to break through and come to our timeline. If that makes any sense to you, I'll take it for what it's worth.
Yeah, no, it makes all the sense in the world, because at one point because I don't know that everybody, you know, when I meditate, there's always an intention, you know.
Right.
Some things that I've got confirmation on was the first telepathic thought voice I ever got was, I was specifically asking who I was in a past life, and it said Adomi. And, you know, sometimes I'll meditate on seeing or hearing an owl, and, quite often it does happen, not every time. So at first I thought maybe my intention, which again, I don't think everybody put one out, maybe perhaps it was just you and I, but maybe I was thinking maybe they were there at the same time, because my intention was for my Native American ancestors to join us, and yours was specifically, you know, hoping to see the Palladians. So that's kind of where my head was at. But that's an interesting theory, that maybe that they were somehow able to, you know, open up that space for them to come.
Absolutely.
Through.
Absolutely. Yeah. I wholeheartedly believe that. The fact that you had that intention, and another gentleman, I forgot his name, also said that his intention was to bring the Native Americans. I don't know how he phrased it. There was some relationship. Mm-hmm. And then the fact that I heard drumming three times, and I thought it was just in my mind with my vision,
mm-hmm.
Or journey, but then you validated and so did he. I'm like, oh, this is interesting. So that was physically audibly validated. My vision obviously can't be, but... Mm-hmm. But for me, it was validation, and I felt wonderful. That was a really amazing journey that I had.
It really was. And for anybody who's listening, I mean, obviously we started roughly around like 8. I mean, as soon as we showed up, you can verify this. We saw multiple orbs or craft kind of flying around.
Hovering.
Above, yeah.
Right, straight above us.
Before even meditation, which was really incredible.
Before.
Yeah.
Kim was setting up, and I'm trying to help her with my hits. Staring up, because I keep seeing them. I'm like, my God, this never happened. In daylight, it was still kind of sort of daylight, and all of a sudden that one star, there's contact that happens on so many different levels, you know, whether you're asleep, unconsciously, orbs, you know, nature spirits, there's all kinds of modalities of contact. So I've learned not to dismiss it, because the minute you do, you're really missing out on the whole experience that you could possibly have. It's a very rich experience. That's just my opinion.
I guess I just have one or two more little detailed questions. So were you able to see that arcing fog that appeared behind my friend?
Yes.
And I? And
yes.
How do you make sense of that?
So in my experience with contact, with Lisa Royal especially, she calls it quantum fog. Okay, she coined that term. I didn't understand what that meant, because in the retreats that I go and we experience with Lisa, there's always this mysterious fog that comes by, and it usually surrounds the group. It doesn't impregnate the group. It's always around us, you know, in a round shape, oval shape. It hovers above us. It does all these weird things. My interpretation is a quantum fog is a byproduct of ET contact. And to me, is if there's an extraterrestrial being or craft, it generates this fog. What's the consistency of it? I don't know. But I call it quantum, or she does, because it's a multidimensional element. It comes from not this space and time. It's multidimensional, which is where the beings may be coming from. So it's a byproduct. of ET contact. And that's why it's hence quantum fog. It's a multidimensional fog.
Hmm. Yes, I did get to witness this, and so did my friend next to me. I just found it curious that it was, it almost looked like it was directly behind us. I wonder if that's possible because there could have been craft in that area, or if...
Absolutely.
Yeah.
In my mind, my heart, yes. And again, I call it quantum fog because that's the best I can describe it from my experience.
Yeah.
And the fact that it was there, you know, and it's just, it's so localized. And then it's, again, synchronistic with the experience we've all been having.
Hmm. Yeah. I think the only other thing I can remember that seemed strange was this, just like you're saying, I mean, the one we were referring to moments ago was, you know, up in the air, almost like a big arc. The other one that seemed odd was during an intense, you know, shamanic chants and the beating of the, what is that drum that she has? Do you know specifically for the sound bath?
It's a Native American drum. I think it's made out of elk skin. It's they're handmade by the Native Americans.
Well, that's fascinating. And then,
it is fascinating.
Especially because...
Now, mind you, she played that after we had our, or I had my vision and we heard the drums.
Hmm.
She didn't have that. She didn't play that during that session. She played that during the second part
For the owl.
Of our contact. Yeah, hmm. Exactly.
That's so fascinating. Yeah, the only other thing I can think to ask is that quantum fog that formed almost a perfect circle around us. Even it was almost like we were sitting in fog, but it wasn't. It was like perfectly cookie cutter shaped circular.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so strange. I mean, the only thing that would make sense is, you know, because I cried on both of those. Those were extremely powerful for me. Like when I was asking for the owl, specifically a domi, or what I call a domi. You know, that's the only reason I saw it, really. I was crying with my head back, eyes were shut, and the tears were going inside my ears, and I felt wildly uncomfortable with that. So when I opened my eyes, wiped my cheeks, and trying to get these tears out of my ear, I felt like it flew directly over us, obviously, but maybe even more so over me.
See, and to me, that's a synchronistic event, and it's happening during this contact experience.
Mm-hmm.
That to me is validation. And again, contact has many forms in my experience, whether it's owls, children in the background that aren't really there, you hear voices. That's all to me an indication of some type of contact that's taking place.
Hmm.
And the quantum fog especially really validates where we were at. And notice that I had the vision of the Native Americans in an outside circle behind us, about 15 feet behind us, which is kind of correlates with the fog.
Hmm.
You know, and so I don't dismiss that. You know, for me, it's just validation.
Hmm. So I guess before I let you go, are there any other strange things about that night, or maybe something that we didn't discuss, or perhaps it sounds like you're clairvoyant. Did you pick up anything with my friend and I, or do you think there's a detail that we might be missing here about the whole night?
No, I think. What I've learned is just to accept what's happening. Don't dismiss it, because the mind, the ego will dismiss everything.
Mm.
Even the most experienced contacts people that do this day in and day out, the ego comes in place and starts analyzing. And that's when you lose the richness of contact. And I'm slowly, as the years go by, learning to surrender to the magic that the universe has to offer, and it becomes more potent. Each experience becomes richer by doing that, because you're kind of sort of becoming like a little kid and not filtering out with the ego and you know, different belief systems that we've been taught that really negate that possibility. And the Native Americans, what a great example. You know, they were making contact with star people for hundreds, if not thousands of years. Very normal for them, you know, in nature spirits and the animal spirits. I mean, this is all well documented and known. You know, we as white people never had that. We lost that because of our technology and our attempts to move forward with technology.
Mm.
And we lost touch with the earth and the multidimensionality and multidimensional elements that earth has to offer, which are the nature spirits and guides and what have you, you know.
Hmm.
So that's my take on it. I'm thrilled. One thing, too, that I do want to add is that contact, what I've learned in my experience is it doesn't stop that night. You'll take it home. You may take a day, or that night you may bring contact into your bedroom, you know, and finish the contact experience, or it may take weeks. Well, 2 days ago, I had a profound, probably the most realistic dream, and this one I'm going to go on a limb and say it wasn't a dream. I was awoken to being on a platform of a ship, and my first reaction was extreme fear, because I knew I was making contact with these tall, bluish-white ETs, and I'm sitting on this platform. I'm going to call it like a platform before you go into the ship, and there's a bunch of people, and I'm there, and I'm already in fear. I'm going, wow, this is contact. These are real beings, and I'm going in their ship, and I started feeling fear. And then a part of me said, you know, stop this, Al. This is what you've been wanting for years. Don't dismiss this with fear. Fear is will stop contact. So I let it go. I surrendered to it. Next thing I know, I'm inside this ship, and there's about 30 of us in there in this big area. And I'm going to interpret as being like a where they put people that want to go on a journey, if you will, with them. It's not like a cargo, but it's just an area where it can host a lot of people. I do remember inside the ship was a bluish white. It was misty. I couldn't, there was no definition to the wall. Sometimes I'll see like instruments, but this one I couldn't. I just knew I had a blue light content, and beings were tall, bluish white. Couldn't see exactly their figures. And next thing I know, we were all going we were taken to a outer space. We went outside our solar system, intergalactic. And at that point, I blacked out.
Hmm.
But when I woke up, I was thrilled, because it felt like, you know what? I just had an experience, and it wasn't a dream.
Hmm. That's fascinating.
So this was 2 nights ago.
Okay, so 2 nights ago, that would make it Tuesday, so not very long after Saturday.
Not very long, yeah.
Exactly. That's interesting that you say 30 other Homo sapiens sapiens, because there was just about 30 of us there that night, wasn't there?
Yeah, you could make a correlation with that, absolutely. I didn't think about that. Absolutely. And we all had the desire, the intent to travel with them. And it was interesting, because as soon as the doors closed, or that bay door closed, we jumped, and then I blacked out. I don't remember any of it.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fear will absolutely stop contact. Unfortunately.
Okay.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Every time I show any signs of fear, they take off, because I don't think they want to scare me. But Al, I really do appreciate your time. My listeners appreciate the finer details that you could help us with. And if you ever do want to come on the program properly, you know, it's just through Skype or Zoom or whatever. But
yeah.
I would love to share your experiences and your story with the listeners.
Sure.
It's really just for education for myself and our listeners. So
yeah, I'd be happy to.
All right.
Love it. Yeah, thanks for reaching out. Thanks for showing up that night. I had a great time with you guys, and it's nice to be able to share events like this with people that, you know, have that desire to put themselves out there.
Absolutely. If you ever want to grab dinner or coffee, let me know. It'll be on me just to pick your brain a little more.
Cool. Well, I've got your number, so yeah, I'd be happy to. Anytime you want to chat, I'm here for you.
All right. Thanks, Al. I really appreciate it.
All right, my friend. Have a good one.
Yep, thanks. You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. Today's intro was a clipping from an artist named Smol, S-M-O-L, and the song is called Playground, featuring Alan Watts, and here's the full version.
One of the most interesting things in the world, this is a yoga, this is a way of realization. Try and imagine what it will be like to go to sleep and never wake up. Think about that. It's one of the great wonders of life. What will it be like to go to sleep and never wake up? And if you think long enough about that, something will happen to you. Throughout all galaxies, it doesn't make any difference. You are all of them. And when they come into being, that's you coming into being. You know that very well.
Today's outro is Calling All Hybrids by Skits the PLK. If you like his stuff, go to schizomusic.com.
I'ma do this for my hybrids, yeah. From a different world, looking to provide us with knowledge, wishing that we all just stop the violence. They try to show us how to build, but we always demolish. Yeah. Listen, I'm here to reach out to you. You can ask me anything, I'll never lie to you. If you came in from above, then I'ma ride for you. If you're only spreading love, then I would die for you. That's crazy, right? You can call it what you want, but through the weeds, we getting blunt. It isn't time to play around and go to lunch, when the ops can destroy the whole planet in a month. I'm the kind of contactee that'll contact any kind being with a compact beam. Just to see the starship gleam in the middle of the night with my team. If you feel without me, then you might be a hybrid. Bare minimum a contactee. If you know you a hybrid, feel free to come and contact me. Baby, I'm a star seed, here to give you the support that y'all seek. If you know you a hybrid, give me the knowledge that humanity needs. You might be a hybrid, bare minimum a contactee. If you know you a hybrid, feel free to come and contact me. Baby, I'm a star seed, here to give you the support that y'all seek. If you know you a hybrid, give me the knowledge that humanity needs. Try to take a minute to understand where you're finna. When you're living for the love of it, you can love in your spirit. I guess it's only human to sit and stew in your feelings. So I think we need a hybrid to come and show us the healing. Techniques used by the ancient ones through vibration. We can meditate for fun. Who would have thought a couple breaths could replace a gun? Let's get mindful. Let the grace overrun the streets till it reaches every mind that shines like me. I'm living for it, but I swear that I'm dying to see the hybrids coming forth with honesty. To let us know we're not alone in this odyssey. Tell a deep state that I need an apology. For suppressing technology and using taxes as an excuse for robbing me. If it bothers you just like it bothers me, then you might be a hybrid, bare minimum a contactee. If you know you a hybrid, feel free to come and contact me. Baby, I'm a star seed, I'm here to give you the support that y'all seek. If you know you a hybrid, give me the knowledge that humanity needs. You might be a hybrid, bare minimum a contactee. If you know you a hybrid, feel free to come and contact me. Baby, I'm a star seed, here to give you the support that y'all seek.
shall seek. If you know you a hybrid, give me the knowledge that humanity needs. You might be a hybrid, bare minimum a contact me. If you know you a hybrid, feel free to come and contact me. Maybe I'm a star seed, here to give you the support that y'all seek. If you know you a hybrid, give me the knowledge that humanity needs. Peace and love, love and light.